Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be able to listen only until the question and answer portion of today's conference. To ask a question, please press star 1. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Siobhan Delancey. Ms., you may begin.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you all for joining us for today's stakeholder call. My name is Siobhan Delancey. I'll be serving as your moderator today. And the purpose of the call is to communicate with our FDA animal food stakeholders and other interested parties to discuss animal food safety questions related to COVID-19. On the call, FDA Animal Foods Program leadership from our Center for Veterinary Medicine and Office of Regulatory Affairs will provide an overview of current activities, acknowledge stakeholder concerns, and highlight important FDA resources in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm joined today by Dr. Stephen Solomon, the Director of FDA's Center for Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Tim Schell, Director of CVM's Office of Surveillance and Compliance, Ms. Jenny Murphy, Deputy Director for Foods in the Office of Surveillance and Compliance, and Mr. Michael Rogers, Assistant Commissioner for Human and Animal Food Operations from FDA's Office of Regulatory Affairs. And as previously mentioned, following the formal remarks, we'll open up the call for a question and answer session. And at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to our first speaker, Dr. Steve Solomon.
Thanks, Siobhan. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today's call. As mentioned, I'm Steve Solomon. I'm the director of the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine. As you all well know, these are very difficult times as we all face unprecedented challenges brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. It's impacting our lives, our families, our communities, and our work. First, let me assure you that the FDA is committed protecting the health of the American people and facing any challenges that might arise during this crisis. That has never been more true than it is today. We are committed to ensuring the safety of the food supply for both animals and humans, and that the food supply chain is not disrupted. The Secretary of Health and Human Services declared a public health emergency on January 31st, 2020, and the FDA stood up and maintain its incident management command structure since the beginning of February. The Center for Veterinary Medicine is part of FDA's incident management group to coordinate actions across all FDA-regulated products and, in fact, all government in the collaborative response to address COVID-19. We're working to coordinate the state and local governments as well, since the COVID-19 situation is so fluid and impacts different areas of our country differently at any given time. Recognizing the close relationship between the human and animal food sectors, we are closely coordinating with our colleagues at the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition, or CIFSAN, and the Office of Food Policy and Response, or OFPR. In the animal food sector, these actions include, but aren't limited to, working with industry on potential animal food or ingredient shortages so we all can keep abreast of supply chain issues should they emerge. Providing guidance on issues that relate to worker health at your facilities and to any impact on your products. Ensuring the animal food sector and all its forms is represented on the critical infrastructure list so you can continue your vital work. And modifying our inspectional approaches to keep your workers and FDA staff safe while still ensuring the safety of the animal food supply. Let me emphasize how much FDA appreciates the animal food industry's engagement in the COVID-19 response and the service you're providing. We appreciate the partnership all of you have demonstrated as we face COVID-19 challenges together. Addressing this crisis is a collaborative team effort and involves an all-of-government approach, as I mentioned. It also involves public-private collaboration. That's why CVM is teaming up with all of our partners at this critical time. Keeping the lines of communication open and strong is critical, as the situation is constantly evolving, and we don't know what form the next challenge will take. I want you to know that FDA and CVM are here to help. As Michael Rogers will tell you more about shortly, FDA has halted routine foreign and domestic inspections and sampling for the time being. We've issued enforcement discretion for the on-site audit provisions for both our preventive control regulations, both on the human and animal side, and the foreign supplier verification program. We've issued guidance to relax the terms of the veterinarian-client-patient relationship, or VCPR, where what's pertinent to the animal food sector is that subject to your state's veterinary-client-patient relationship rules, we're providing veterinarians with greater flexibility to use telemedicine during the COVID-19 outbreak by temporarily suspending the animal examination and premise visit requirements to authorize veterinary feed-directed drugs. We're also working hard to make sure our employees stay safe, and the vast majority of staff are teleworking, except central employees whose jobs require being on site. However, we continue to do all mission-critical work and to the greatest extent are continuing our usual mission-related activities. We've recently received reports that you have potential concerns with shortages of disinfectants, cleaners, personal protective equipment, and transportation availability. We pass these concerns on and questions to the folks in the U.S. government who are coordinating these type of efforts, and Shabazz Valancy will discuss this later in the call. Before I turn this call over to Dr. Tim Schell, let me again thank you for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for your hard work, and thank you for your continued partnership and commitment to producing safe animal feed during these challenging times. Dr. Schell?
Thank you, Dr. Solomon. I'm Tim Schell. I'm the director of the CVM's Office of Surveillance and Compliance. We want you to know that we are committed to ensuring that the food supply is safe and that the food supply chain is not disrupted. First, let's talk about animal food safety. I know there have been lots of questions from consumers about the safety of the food supply and whether the food supply is a source of COVID-19. There's no evidence of food or food packaging being associated with transmission of COVID-19, neither humans or animals. This is not a foodborne gastrointestinal virus like norovirus or hepatitis A or microbial pathogen that may cause gastrointestinal issues. The virus that causes COVID-19 is one that causes respiratory illness and is not known to be transmitted by exposure to food, including animal food. It is much more likely that an infected person will spread the virus through person-to-person transmission than from contaminated food or food packaging. A second possible method of transmission is that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a frequently contacted surface, such as a counter, or object, such as a doorknob, that have the virus on it, and then touching their own mouth, nose, or eyes. Because of the way the virus spreads, primarily from person to person, and then potentially from contaminated surfaces, we do not anticipate that animal food products would need to be recalled or be withdrawn from the market should a person who works in an animal food facility be contaminated or be confirmed to be positive for COVID-19. Now let's shift to focus on the food supply. There's no nationwide shortages of food for humans or animals. Animal food production and manufacturing are widely dispersed throughout the United States, and there are currently no widespread disruptions reported in the supply chain. We are continuing to put this message out to the public. FDA is working with our partners in the animal food industry to monitor the food supply chain for any shortages. We are greatly appreciative for the information you all, primarily through industry trade associations, have been providing to us on the current status of the food supply chain. No shortage of finished food or ingredients used in manufacturing animal food are being reported. We will be continuously working to monitor the situation. We know that there have been reports of empty pet food aisles or delays ordering from home-based delivery services. Based on our ongoing communication with both the human food and animal food industries, we understand that this is largely an issue of unprecedented demand, not a lack of capacity to produce and process. The manufacturers and retailers alike are working around the clock to replenish shelves. We, all of us, must continue to reassure and remind American consumers, including pet owners and farmers, that there is no need to hoard animal food, particularly pet food. Families should only buy what they need to feed their pets on a normal cycle in which they buy pet food. Often a single bag of pet food could last a few weeks. We want consumers to be confident in the safety of their animal food, and we want them to have access to the food they need for the animals they are caring for, including pets and farm animals. I'd like to reiterate our appreciation for the industry's cooperation in monitoring the food supply and ask that we continue to work closely together to address the challenges that lie ahead. And now I'll turn it over to Jenny Murphy. Jenny?
Thank you, Dr. Schell. I'm Jenny Murphy, and I'm the Deputy Director for Foods at CVM's Office of Surveillance and Compliance. For the past few years, FDA and industry have been discussing the importance of food safety, particularly after the passage of the Food Safety Modernization Act, or FSMA. Many of you have heard CVM express why we believe so passionately in food safety. While not every human or animal needs to use all FDA-regulated products, such as drugs or devices, every human and animal has to eat to survive, and it's our role to make sure that food is safe. In this time of the COVID-19 pandemic, we, regulators and industry, have a role in ensuring that animal food is both safe and available. To ensure that animal food production continues, FDA has been working with the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, to ensure animal food is well represented on DHS's essential critical infrastructure workforce. Animal food is represented as part of the food and agriculture sector. DHS's, what's called their Memorandum of Identification of Essential Critical Infrastructure Workers during COVID-19 response, can be found on DHS's Cyber and Infrastructure Security Agency's website, which is www.cisa.gov. In the first version of this list, which was released by DHS in mid-March, we received a few questions on whether the descriptions in the food and agriculture sector sufficiently represented the animal food industry. DHS is updating this list on an as-needed basis, and FDA was able to work with DHS to get updates to the list to address the concerns we had received. A new version of this list was released on March 28th with some additional edits to the food and agriculture section. FDA is very grateful for DHS's quick work on the revisions. We believe the current list under the food and agriculture section is wide enough to address all the various animal food industry sectors, including livestock food, pet food, renderers, ingredient manufacturers, food packaging, transportation, and retail facilities such as pet food stores and feed and grain stores. Now, please recognize that the DH list in its entirety is not meant to be binding for state and local governments. It is meant to serve as a tool for them to build their own list. One question that has come up is what type of documentation workers should provide to show they are essential critical infrastructure workers, especially as more states and localities have put in shelter-in-place orders. That decision is a decision for an individual state, but we have heard that many employers are providing their own letters of documentation to their employees and attaching the state or local government listing of essential critical infrastructure workers. If you have questions or concerns within your state, you should work directly with your state government. If you are unsure of how to reach your state government, we recommend that you use the Association of American Feed Control Officials, or AFCO, Directory for State Feed Control Officials, which can be found on AFCO's website at www.aafco.org under the tab titled Regulatory. From there, you can find your state feed control official contact using the map of the United States. Now, I'm going to shift gears to talk about the health of animal food facility workers. While the normal conversations between FDA and the animal food industry focus on animal food safety, these are definitely different times. So today I'm going to focus on the health and safety of animal food facility workers. We deeply care about what's happening for workers in animal food facilities. Animal food facilities should be taking steps to ensure the safety of their workforce. Some steps that can be taken to clean a facility or equipment to prevent the spread of COVID-19 include following current good manufacturing practice or CGMP requirements for food safety to maintain clean food contact surfaces. While not required under the CGMPs and the Provider of Control for Animal Food Regulation, this is the time to consider sanitizing food contact surfaces and equipment that workers may come into contact with. Facilities should be using EPA-registered sanitizer products in their cleaning and sanitizing practices. EPA has a list of EPA-registered disinfectant products for COVID-19 on their disinfectants for use against SARS-CoV-2 list that have qualified under EPA's Emerging Viral Pathogen Program for use against SARS-CoV-2, which is the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. To prevent the spread of COVID-19, CDC is recommending individuals employ social distancing or maintaining approximately 6 feet from others when possible. In animal food production and processing facilities and retail food establishments, such as, again, pet food stores and the feed and grain store, you should conduct an evaluation to identify and implement operational changes that increase employee separation. However, we do recognize that social distancing to the full 6 feet will not be possible in some animal food facilities. When it's impractical for employees in these settings to maintain social distancing, your workers should maintain effective hygiene practices to reduce the chance of spreading the virus. CDC regularly updates its interim guidance for businesses and employers to plan and respond to coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, which includes updates to cleaning and disinfecting guidance and best practices for conducting social distancing, among others. I'm sure many of you have questions on what to do if a worker tests positive for COVID-19. If you have a worker who tests positive, there are recommendations on what you should do to continue operations while at the same time protecting your other employees. OSHA has issued a guidance on preparing workplaces for COVID-19 that includes information on how a COVID-19 outbreak could affect workplaces and steps all employers can take to reduce workers' exposure for that risk. Animal food facilities need to follow protocols and cleaning, including cleaning protocols set by local and state health departments, which may vary depending on the amount of community spread of COVID-19 in a given area. Employers should inform fellow employees of their possible exposure to COVID-19 in the workplace, but maintain confidentiality about individual employees' identities. Sick employees should follow the CDC's guidelines on what to do if you are sick with coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19. While the primary responsibility in this instance is to take appropriate actions to protect other workers and people who might have come in contact with the ill employee, facilities should redouble their cleaning and sanitation efforts to control any risks that might be associated with workers who are ill, regardless of the type of virus in the facility. Recently, FDA received questions on the need to conduct environmental testing if a worker has tested positive in a food facility. Because there is currently no evidence of food or food packaging being associated with transmission of COVID-19, we do not believe there is a need to conduct environmental testing in a food facility setting for the virus that causes COVID-19 for the purposes of animal food safety. Cleaning and sanitizing surfaces, such as with more frequent cleaning and sanitation schedule, is a better use of resources than testing to see if the virus is present. Now, just a few more points on questions FDA has received on what to do if a worker tests positive. As Dr. Sale mentioned earlier, FDA does not anticipate that animal food products would need to be recalled or withdrawn from the market because COVID-19, as there is currently no evidence to suggest the transmission through animal food or animal food packaging. Regarding facility closure, if a worker tests positive, you will need to follow protocols set by local and state health departments, which may vary depending on the amount of community spread of COVID-19 in a given area. These decisions will be based on public health risk of person-to-person transmission, not based on food safety. Now I'm going to turn the program over to Mr. Michael Rogers to discuss updates on foreign and domestic inspections.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Michael Rogers, and I am the Assistant Commissioner for Human and Animal Food Operations in FDA's Office of Regulatory Affairs, and I oversee the portfolio of the organization that conduct the inspections and investigations of firms that manufacture human and animal foods, as well as feeds and farms. I'd like to give you a sense of what the industry should expect to see for the foreseeable future related to our current approach for inspections in the domestic and foreign arena that complement the recommendations from the White House, the Department of State's foreign travel warnings, the CDC, and some of the local social distancing measures being adopted by many of the states to reduce the community spread of COVID-19. So regarding inspections, the FDA has issued statements that outline our current approach for domestic and foreign inspections that ensures the continued safety of imported animal food and animal food produced in the United States, as well as takes into account the safety and well-being of our workforce and the employees across the animal food industry. So I'll draw your attention to recent statements by our FDA Commissioner, Dr. Stephen Hahn, one on March 10th that addressed foreign inspections and another on March 18th covering inspections in the domestic arena, and they're posted on FDA's internet site. So presently, for all inspections, domestic and foreign, for all programs, we have postponed all domestic and foreign routine surveillance inspections of firms that manufacture human and animal foods and farms, and we're only focusing on those inspections that are considered as mission critical when there is a potential threat to public health, human or animal, and provided that they can be accomplished in a safe manner for our staff, their families, and industry. It's also important to mention that we have been getting this mission critical work done in a variety of program areas. Some examples of inspections that would meet that mission critical threshold include inspections in follow-up to an animal food that was shown to be causing death or illnesses, following up on a Class 1 recall, and in some cases, conducting inspections at firms with a poor regulatory track record when it comes to animal food safety. I'll refer to those as compliance follow-up inspections. We plan to revisit this approach on a periodic basis, but we do not plan to proceed with routine surveillance inspections until this crisis has passed. We're also aware that many firms are taking into account the local and state measures to reduce the community spread of COVID-19, and our approach for domestic inspections should help reduce the burden on industry during this time as well. We have received some comments from industry regarding if this is the approach that the states are taking for the inspections that they conduct. And I can say that this is the approach that the states are following for the inspections that the states conduct for FDA under contract and partnerships. We also, though, recognize that the states conduct many inspections outside of this process, and some are solely under the state's jurisdiction, for example, intrastate facilities. We would, however, expect that the states would be using the same mission critical criteria to conduct this work, as well as take into account the measures within their state to reduce the spread of COVID-19. During this time, while we're only focusing on that mission critical work, and while many of our workforce are following shelter in place restrictions within their states, our efforts to continue to protect the public health continue. For that routine work, we will be initiating what we're calling an enhanced remote official establishment inventory assignment that is focused on contacting registered firms remotely, identifying who we are through a standard script, and it's really focused on validating the information that we have on file about firms, as well as get a sense of what their operating status is. We also plan to share with firms how to access the latest information that the FDA has posted for COVID-19, as well as direct them to a set of questions and answers that have been developed. We have implemented one change to our procedures for domestic inspections that we will conduct, again, only those mission-critical inspections. and that is that we plan to pre-announce all of our domestic inspections. As you are aware, the majority of our inspections in the domestic arena are unannounced, and we're taking this approach at this time to make it easier on industry to promote efficiency as well as help identify the operating status of firms that we plan to inspect. Let me close by saying that we, and I'll say the regulators and industry, are all in this together to achieve our shared vision for safe animal food. And I don't think it's an overstatement when you think about the fact that we're all working from home, our kids are not attending school, we've seen disruptions to our vacations and graduations, we've seen the impact in our communities and with our neighbors, and we're all, quite frankly, anxious about the unknowns related to this global pandemic. So from that standpoint, I can't think of a time when that statement was more relevant. So we are, in fact, all in this together. I'll also add that the safety of the animal food supply is a shared responsibility between the regulators and industry. And a key assurance is the fact that the Preventive Controls for Animal Foods Rule provides the platform for safe animal food and preventing hazards, and emphasizes the need to rely on animal food safety plans. You know, during this period, quite frankly, I think we'll be leveraging even more the role that industry has to ensure that the animal food supply is safe, while we at the FDA do our part. You should know that FDA will be doing all that we can, and we know that industry will as well, to accomplish our shared goal of ensuring that the animal food supply is safe. You should know that the animal food is safe and will continue to be with all of our combined efforts. Thanks for your time, and I'll turn this back over to our operator, and I'll be available to address your questions later. Thank you.
This is Steve Solomon. Again, I think I'll close out and then before we go to Q&A. So thank you, Michael. Well put. Before we start our question and answer session, let me once again thank all my FDA colleagues for the good information you provided today. As Michael and we've reiterated, this is a critical time for all of us, and we at the FDA appreciate all that you and the industry are doing to ensure the safety and security of animal food. I also want to mention that while FDA, including CVM, is devoting significant resources to COVID-19 response, we want you to know at this time we're continuing a lot of our normal business functions and still operating. Our complaint and emergency response team and our Division of Compliance is ready to respond to any animal food outbreak or illness issue. Our pre-market animal food review process, including review of food additives, grass substances, and APCO definitions, is fully operating and reviewing submissions, and we're continuing our hiring and onboarding initiative with the funds we received in fiscal year 20. CVM also continues to work on drug approvals and post-market animal drug surveillance and compliance issues. We're also monitoring and taking actions against fraudulent products being marketed to be effective against or to treat or to prevent COVID-19 in both humans and animals. As I mentioned at the beginning, FDA is part of a whole government response. Overall leadership for government coordination is now with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. Just about every government agency has an emergency operations center working on this issue. FDA's website points you to where information COVID-19 is posted and how to direct questions, as do websites for our partners from USDA, CDC, and other agencies. Let me turn the call now back to our moderator, Siobhan Delancey, who will give you more details and resources to help you, and she'll help us with the question and answer portion of the program. Thanks for your attention today. Siobhan?
Thank you, Dr. Solomon. In a few minutes, we'll start the question and answer session. Right now, operator, can you let participants know how they can enter the queue to ask a question? And then I will go over the resources that are available.
Certainly. Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name and your affiliation. Please unmute your phone when recording your information. And to withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, it is star 1.
Thank you. And while we're waiting for the callers to enter the queue, here's some additional information on resources. If you're experiencing issues regarding your supply chain, including ingredients, packaging, and personal protective equipment, delivery of goods, or business continuity, please contact the FEMA National Business Emergency Operations Center at nbeoc@fema.dhs.gov. This is a 24/7 operation, and they can assist in directing your inquiry to the proper contact. Similarly, should you contact FEMA if you're having problems with transportation or moving food or getting food through areas that have imposed quarantines, CVM has received a few questions on transportation concerns and has forwarded them to FEMA. And FDA also has a wealth of resources on its main coronavirus page at fda.gov/coronavirus. CVM also has a coronavirus page for questions that are specific to animal foods, animal drugs, and animal safety. And this can be accessed through the banner on the main CVM page at fda.gov/animal-veterinary. Much of the information presented here on the call today is found currently on FDA's website, including in our FAQs. Please check the FAQs frequently to see if your question has already been answered. You may want to look at both the human food FAQs and CVM's page for animal foods. If your question's not answered in the FAQs, the best way to ensure your animal food safety questions are getting through to FDA is to submit them via email to askcvm@fda.hhs.gov. Operator, we're now ready for our first question.
Thank you. Our first question comes from Cole Harrington with Harrington Films. Your line is open.
Hello. I'm asking, what is FDA guidance and how does it differ legally than an FDA regulation or rule that was passed in accordance with the Administrative Procedures Act? You guys mentioned guidance several times on the phone call, so I just love that clarity, please.
And can you tell me how your question is related to COVID-19?
You mentioned guidance and COVID-19 on the conference call.
Yes, we're here today to discuss guidance that is specific to COVID-19. Your question does not pertain to COVID-19. We'll go to the next caller.
Correct. So what is
could we have the next caller, please?
Wow. I'm asking what COVID-19 guidance is and how that differs than regulation. That's a pretty simple question. Could you help me?
Yes. All of our guidances are listed on the main coronavirus page. Once again, that is fda.gov/animal-veterinary. And operator, please, we'll take the next question.
Thank you. Our next question, Shea Rogers with House Autry Mills. Your line is open.
Be an issue with taking temperatures for each employee. Is that like an OSHA issue, or could we take the temperatures of the employees to ensure that they're okay before starting work? Hello?
This is Jenny, and I'll take a crack at that response. I believe those are probably local and state requirements and not specific to FDA requirements. I would check the CDC guidelines for businesses to have operations and then check with your local and state health departments on what the specific requirements are for your region. There have been reports, I believe, I know it's harder to find the no-touch thermometers, but I would contact your local and state agency for that, if that's their guidance.
Thank you.
So, Siobhan, I think that's it for me if we want to take the next question.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star one. One moment.
And again, we do have several resources that are available. If you missed some of the websites that were listed today or you have additional questions, you can send those to askcvm@fda.hhs.gov. And thank you for joining today's call. A recording and transcript will be posted to FDA's website in the next few days. And again, if you have additional questions or need more information, please send that request to askcvm@fda.hhs.gov. At this time, operator, we'll go ahead and close the call. Thank you to everyone for joining.
Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.